Israel has again stopped aid from entering northern Gaza. This follows claims that Hamas was seizing food intended for civilians. There remains an acute shortage of food and other supplies across the territory, with almost daily shootings reported at and around the food distribution sites run by the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation. As we heard on the bulletin, despite international criticism, the foundation has been given extra funding by the United States. According to Gaza's health ministry, more than 100 Palestinians have been killed by Israeli fire over the past 2 days. Rachel Cummings is team leader with the aid agency Save the Children in Gaza.
I'm based in Deir al-Balah in the middle area of Gaza, and we've been here since last May when we were evacuated from Rafah. And, you know, the situation is desperate. Across the whole of Deir al-Balah, all the way to the coast road, there are hundreds of thousands of people trying to find shelter, living under tents or tarpaulin, bombed out buildings, very, very highly densely populated. And of course, across Deir al-Balah and the whole of Gaza, people don't have access to enough food or drinking water. So on the streets, we see children walking with empty bowls, children with plastic bottles trying to find water to fill up. I mean, every facet of life has been impacted by the war. So in terms of what I see and the life sort of people are living here, it's very, very difficult for children, yeah.
How much food is getting into your area at the moment, and how is it being distributed?
There isn't enough food to feed the 2 million people in Gaza. The whole of Gaza is on the brink of famine. And, you know, since the 2nd of March, when the siege was put in place across Gaza, and then the 18th of March, when there was the breakdown in the pause and the hostilities resumed, not enough food has entered Gaza. There was over 100 days when nothing entered Gaza. So on the markets now, we see small amounts of fresh food, tomatoes, cucumbers, very, very small amounts in the markets, but they're too expensive for people. My team, who are earning good salaries, they tell me, they share that they are not able to afford to buy potatoes or tomatoes. So for the majority of people in Gaza, food and the markets, it's out of reach. The other thing that we see on the markets is the food that's been distributed within the so-called Gaza Humanitarian Foundation, the militarized food distribution points. Those items are now being sold on the market, but people are unable to buy them. They're too expensive.
Israel says that when aid is let in through other means, that some of it is taken by Hamas for its own purposes. Is that something you've seen?
You know, Save the Children and the UN and other humanitarian partners have been working in Gaza for decades. We know how to provide humanitarian assistance. We have checks and balances. We have monitoring frameworks in place to ensure that the most vulnerable population groups, women, children, pregnant, elderly, disabled, the people who are most in need, are able to receive assistance. But what is happening since the resumption of hostilities in March? Before then, 600 trucks were entering Gaza a day, and WFP, the UN, able to provide distribution food at household level. Since then, we've seen few hundred trucks enter in the last month, and consequently, you see the desperation of people taking, retrieving food directly off the trucks. We've also seen, obviously, organised criminal gangs looting and diverting trucks, but we know how to do this with safety and with dignity. We just need to be allowed to do our jobs.
One of the things you do is provide clean water. How much of an issue is that at the moment?
Oh, it's extraordinarily concerning now. For Save the Children and partners, for clean water to be provided, it's 100% reliant on fuel, and no fuel has entered Gaza in months. The reserves are running very, very low that are managed by the UN. So our ability to provide clean water, which is obviously life's essential is very, very concerning. We need fuel to enter Gaza to be able to provide clean water. We have seen an increase in the number of children presenting in our clinics and in the other health facilities who are coming with diarrhea, and that is a direct cause of the lack of clean water. Children will die very quickly from diarrhea if they are not able to find treatment. And of course, we need to address the root cause, which is the ability to provide clean water. There is open sewage in the streets in Gaza. There is massive waste piled up because we don't have enough fuel to move the waste to safe places for destruction. It's a public health, public storm in Gaza, and it's really concerning for children here.
For the children you work with, is there any such thing as normality at the moment? I mean, are any of them able to go to school?
It's a really good question. And one of the areas that we try to focus on is exactly that, is providing a routine, some assurance for children. We provide education through our learning spaces where children have maths, English, Arabic classes across a course of a term so that children can have that sense of normality. We provide mental health and psychosocial support for children in child-friendly spaces, again, providing them with a routine so that they have some assurance and predictability within their lives, because, of course, the rest of their lives are completely unpredictable. Evacuation notices, displacement orders, children having to take on adult responsibilities, caregiving for younger children, as I said, trying to find food, trying to find water, and that's on top of children witnessing things that children should never have to see. Their homes destroyed, losing their family members, seeing their parents killed by drones, by air attacks. So that normality that we try to provide, that routine, is really very essential, but it's very, very difficult for children.
There are very tentative moves towards new ceasefire talks. How hopeful are you about moves in that direction?
I heard about the ceasefire talks, and of course we have to remain hopeful. We have to remain hopeful that there will be an end to this conflict. There will be a future for children in Gaza, and so the children, you know, will play our part in shaping that future. But talking to children, it's the worst it's ever been. It's the worst place in the world to be a child, is to be a child in Gaza. And the ceasefire has to remain the priority for the global community. Talking to children who come to our learning spaces, who come to our child protection services, and asking them what do they want, is very worrying. We have an increase in number of children now sharing that their wish is to die. They have a thought that they want to die, to be with their families, and that in paradise and in heaven there is food and water and that there is peace. This is deeply concerning, that you have children, teenagers, sharing suicidal thoughts in our sessions because they're losing hope. And this is where, you know, the ceasefire talks have to have a breakthrough to be able to provide that hope for the generation of children in Gaza.
Rachel Cummings of Save the Children in Central Gaza.